In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. In past shows, we've examined a dozen cases of organized stalking, particularly targeting women who are psychic or have a close affinity with the natural world. Based on the sonic and energy weapon attacks at the U.S. embassies in Cuba and China, directed microwave energy technology is being used to attack people. Dr. Judy Wood, author of Where Did the Towers Go? Evidence of Directed Free Energy Technology on 9/11, has explained directed energy as energy deployed with instruction. The technology for the replication and distribution of zero-point energy exists, and it's in use, but it's also being suppressed. In fact, considering what we now know about the lengths to which the cryptocracy will go to keep humanity in a technological backwater, it's possible that the electricity flowing through city grids right now might be covertly powered by zero-point energy sources. Past guest Patrick Kelly, a civil engineer, said there are more than 40,000 suppressed free energy patents in the United States alone. Why do you suppose the United Nations-based climate change movement avoids focusing their resources on stopping climate engineering or developing zero-point energy? It's likely because these same well-funded organizations are planning to use the technology, some of it developed by Nikola Tesla, to further imprison humanity. The media outlets owned by a few corporate conglomerates will broadcast the lies that Mother Earth is dying and laying that blame at your doorstep. This insidious tactic usually connects directly with the emotional body, bypassing the rational mind, creating division and confusion. Meanwhile, instead of zero-point energy powering your home and vehicle, a 5G system is being built to saturate every square inch of space with cancer-causing microwave radiation that's on all the time. You might ask, why aren't we processing information into knowledge that would allow ourselves to make better decisions to then act upon? Well, we listened to presentations by Mark Passio, delivered at events held by the Nikola Tesla Club. Mark is an independent researcher, public speaker, radio talk show host, conference organizer, and freedom activist from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He also runs the website whatonearthishappening.com. Let's have a listen to the first presentation titled Humans Missing Paradigm Shift.
Thank you all for being here today. Thanks to the Tesla Science Foundation for inviting me to speak. I'm going to do something a little bit different than most other speakers today. I'm going to talk about the spirituality change that is inherent in creating a free energy paradigm. So my presentation is entitled Tesla and Humanity's Missing Paradigm Shift. And once again, my website is whatonearthishappening.com, if you're not familiar with my work. This is going to be my only small caveat for this presentation. This is a meme that says, the only people who are mad at you for speaking the truth are the people who are living a lie. So some of the things I may say today may be a little bit difficult for some people to hear, but I'm going to say them anyway. So, of course, we're all here to commemorate the great inventor and scientist Nikola Tesla and what the vision for what he wanted to bring to the world to make possible for humanity. And unfortunately, Tesla's greatest visions for humanity and the technology that he envisioned to make that future possible has not come to fruition and has not manifested in our lives. And there are reasons for that, which I'm going to be getting into here today. See, Tesla was a visionary, and perhaps the people of his day were not ready for the very advanced type of technology that he wanted to bring to the world. They weren't ready in a spiritual capacity, and I don't really see any indication that that has changed that much. We still have to go through a paradigm shift in consciousness before free energy can be manifested as a technology on Earth. So right now what we have is a controlled energy paradigm. We have nothing resembling a free energy paradigm. I call this the scarcity paradigm, and its hallmarks are it's polluting and unsustainable. It's based in the fear of scarcity. It perpetuates dependency, most of all dependency on government and utility companies. It's maintained by violence, exploitation, and imperialism. It promotes a separation worldview that nature belongs to us and is ours to conquer and use as we see fit. It is ultimately stagnating of humanity's spiritual progress, our evolution in consciousness. It is actually a completely immoral energy paradigm because of the violence it is based upon. It is in opposition to what I call spiritual law, moral law, or simply natural law. And the continued dependency on this paradigm will eventually lead to humanity's total slavery and ultimately extinction. And that is not fear-mongering, that is a simple matter of fact. What we say we want to see manifested in the world is a free energy paradigm. That's what the people in the free energy movement, in the new technology movement, say that they want. And I'm going to, you know, say it like that. We say we want that. But, you know, there are requirements for what we say we want. It's the things that we say that we want don't just magically occur in our world. We have to do things to make them happen. And the things that actually make them happen are not just physical. We have to go through mental transformations to prepare the way for bringing this physical manifestation into the world. So the free energy, or what I call the abundance paradigm, is non-polluting and sustainable. It creates empowerment via abundance. It promotes independence rather than dependence. It's based in genuine power, which means that no scarcity would obviate our human so-called need for aggression and war, which Tesla wanted to see abolished through his technology. It promotes an integral worldview as opposed to a separation worldview. And this integral worldview is basically that we are a part of the living system of nature. We are not separate from it. It promotes human evolutionary progress and consciousness. And the free energy paradigm is moral, meaning it is in harmony with natural law, with the moral and spiritual laws of creation. This paradigm would lead to true freedom for all, for everyone on this planet. But we don't have this paradigm. Okay, we have this controlled energy paradigm in place, and we say we want to get to the free energy paradigm, and there's a world in between these two things. Okay, so here's where we are on the left, where we want to go is on the right, but you know, then there's this space in between where things haven't manifested. You could call it a transitional period. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers, but back in like the 90s leading into the early 2000s, spiritualists and those in perhaps the New Age community would refer to this as a paradigm shift, or simply the paradigm shift that humanity has to undergo. And it was kind of a nebulous phrase, you know, it was never really fully quite defined in the spiritualist communities. So, you know, I asked the question here today, what is this paradigm shift? What is actually the shift in consciousness that humanity has to undergo to make free energy a physical manifestation in our world? And it's not what people would quite what they would think. Okay, maybe not what many of these people in this room would think that it is. So I have actually covered the characteristics of this paradigm shift in a former presentation that I did back in 2014 in St. Louis. It was called Streetwise Spirituality. Okay, so this is my whole approach. It's a boots-on-the-ground approach to spirituality, a spirit-in-the-flesh approach. Very pragmatic, realistic view of spirituality as opposed to a feel-good, new-agey approach. Okay, but it actually talks about what it really means to be a conscious individual. What does it really mean to be quote unquote awake? We, you know, we float these terms out there, but do we really know what they mean? And in this presentation, I covered 20 aspects of the paradigm shift. So very briefly, I'll run down these. I'm not going to cover them in depth. You could watch the presentation, Streetwise Spirituality, if you want to explore those in depth. But it is knowledge of the world of the occult, meaning the hidden, specifically hidden science and hidden spirituality. Knowing that the truth and morality are objective. They are not subjective. They are objective and independent of our perceptions. And our job is to learn the methodology by which we can discover truth objectively. It is knowing the characteristics of the higher self. It is knowing that the physical and spiritual aspects of our reality do not supersede each other, but yet they are actually one. It is about release from ego identification and ego attachment. It is the exercise of true discernment and judgment. It is becoming mentally free of all false religions or simply all false belief systems. It is understanding that knowledge is never negative, no matter how seemingly scary it may sound. Knowing it is worth it. It is about knowledge that the current human condition is, in fact, a condition of slavery and the causal factors that have led to the current human condition. It is understanding and living in harmony with natural law, the moral and spiritual laws of creation that actually govern the consequences of our behavior. It is knowing and living what I call the both of the pillars of enlightenment, the non-aggression principle and the self-defense principle, or the male and female pillars of enlightenment. It is knowing that authority, the concept of authority, the belief in authority itself is morally illegitimate, and that all forms of government are actually human slavery. It is the recognition of free will and total personal responsibility, which is required for a state of true freedom. It is knowing that so-called negative emotions serve a critical purpose. It is knowing that enlightenment is not about pursuing bliss while surrounded by suffering in our world. It is knowing what true forgiveness really means. It is knowing the difference between what cannot be changed and what should be changed. It is caring enough to take real-world action to create real-world change. It is knowing that enlightenment includes influencing others to improve themselves, not just about advancing yourself and stopping there. And it is ultimately knowing that enlightenment does not equate to perfection, no such thing in the 3D world. Here's the paradigm shift aspects that are absolutely the most critical to the emergence of free energy in our world. Knowledge of the occult, meaning we have to understand the hidden science that has been held back from our understanding, and we have to understand the hidden spirituality and the laws of the actual spiritual reality that we live in. It is becoming mentally free of all false religions, and too many people cling to false religions and false belief systems, as I'm going to get into. It is knowledge that the current human condition is slavery and the causal factors that have led to this condition. It is understanding natural law and living in harmony with it. And it is knowing that authority is morally illegitimate and that all forms of government are human slavery. Why hasn't this paradigm shift happened? Okay? And this is the hard part to hear. Most people on this planet still believe in the concept of authority, this belief that government is somehow morally legitimate and necessary. And they still believe in the false left-right political paradigm, which is a sham. It's a false reality, okay? It is a movie version of reality projected at us by the mainstream media, but it actually has nothing to do with what is really taking place in this world. It is a Hegelian dialectic that pits us against each other so that the masters can continue to rule us. Most people still believe the mainstream media and its pundits are actually telling them anything that resembles truth. Unfortunately, this is true for most people in the world still today. Most people still believe that the purpose of mainstream science, or what I refer to as scientism, a religious belief system, is a genuine search for truth and a genuine search for the betterment of humanity through the understanding of nature and the development of new technologies. Most people still believe that the purpose of the so-called education system is to edify and enlighten people through genuine knowledge. And most people, unfortunately, still believe that the institutions of religion, banking, medicine, law, law enforcement, military, and just about every other societal institution exist to do what they claim they exist to do. And I would guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, that they exist to do quite the opposite of what their intended stated purpose is. And unfortunately, the vast body of humanity is still extraordinarily naive and condoning of these institutions that are based on violence and are based on fraud and deception, etc. And they don't want to admit that they've been duped. This is why the paradigm shift has not occurred. This is why we're still stuck in the controlled energy paradigm, and we're not leaving it until we get rid of these false belief systems. Until these false beliefs are purged from human consciousness, don't expect free energy to manifest. It will not. It can not manifest until we change our own belief systems and stop believing in things that are based in violence and coercion and deception and ignorance. Okay, so, you know, here's a little meme I picked up on the internet. It says, there is simply no polite way to tell people that they've dedicated their lives to an illusion. And this is what I've dedicated my life to doing through public speaking. You know, and my approach is quite blunt. I like it that way. I don't make any apologies for it. It's true, and I tell people, get as offended as you like about it. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here not to offend you. I'm here to speak harsh reality to people, and that's what I do unapologetically. Most people in the free energy movement still do not understand the free part. You know, most of them think this is about it being free as in gratis, as in not having to pay for it. They don't understand that a free energy system has to be based in a world that is based in true human freedom, which too few people truly value or even understand the meaning of. And that's the world. That's the current condition of our world. It's a slavery system that is locked down practically, and it's getting worse. And it's the reason that it's getting worse and the reason that we're in that condition is because we believe in this erroneous notion of authority that is based in violence and coercion. The belief in authority is an illusion of a diseased psyche based entirely in violence and built upon the erroneous and dogmatic belief that some people are masters who have the moral right to issue quite arbitrary commands, while others are their slaves who have a moral obligation to obey the masters. And if you don't think that's what government is, I would suggest that you're an extremely naive individual and you haven't really looked at the dynamics involved, because that is what it is at its base level. Government is the world's most dangerous religion. I call it the world's most dangerous cult. It is a cult belief system. Imagine being forced into a religion that you cannot opt out of. That's what government is. It is a religious belief system. See, in the past, in the old world order, you had this concept of authority being vested in one individual that ruled over everybody else. And as you went down that chain of command, or chain of obedience, as I like to call it, you had more people who were more ignorant. And at the top, you had total power and total knowledge. And in the past, they called this slavery system kingship. That's what it was referred to as. It was completely immoral then, just as it is now or would be in the future. Okay? But see, today, we've been duped into believing that we have something different than that when we have exactly the same thing. It's just authority that is vested in few. This is hegemony. This is oligarchy. This is what government is. Government is simply the same thing, except you have diffused the power from one individual into a handful of individuals that comprise a ruling class. Ladies and gentlemen, it does not matter whether you have an individual ruling the entirety of society or you have an oligarchy ruling the entirety of society. I don't care what you call that. You can euphemize it all you want, but that is called slavery. And that is the condition of humanity. That is what we are living in. Every single individual in this room, including myself, is a slave. And we are existing in a state of slavery on earth. Whether you understand that or not is irrelevant. That is the case. The problem is too few people understand that that is the case. See, people would call me somewhat crazy for saying it just that bluntly. But see, you know, this is also a meme that I picked up that I liked a lot. Let's see if I got this correct. You believe that people can't govern themselves as individuals. However, you also believe that some people can govern hundreds of millions of other people. It is actually the most ridiculous premise possible. I don't expect everybody to grasp this in just a short presentation format like this. I highly suggest that people go to my website and view my Natural Law Seminar. It is probably the most profound spiritual work that you will ever encounter in your life. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying that because you will probably never find spiritual information of this depth and magnitude as opposed to what I have laid out in my 9-hour presentation called Natural Law, the real law of attraction and how to apply it in your life. It is approximately 9 hours long and is worth every second. The vast majority of the very people who say they want to see the manifestation of free energy are actually those who are blocking the manifestation of free energy by the very way that they continue to think. Thoughts become our reality, ladies and gentlemen. And if we do not change the way that we think, it is an impossibility for free energy to manifest, because we will continue to manifest the same controlled energy paradigm for as long as our minds are not based in true freedom. This is mind control. This is where the vast majority of human beings are at. They are in a state of completely controlled thought. where they cannot think of even the possibilities of what may be possible for humanity because of their limiting worldview and belief systems. And you can euphemize that all you want, just like you can euphemize slavery and call it government. People use mental manipulation, they use all kinds of euphemisms for it, but I call it what it really is, mind control. And we are mind controlled by social engineers who continue to get us to think in a paradigm of false belief that will keep us enslaved. Free energy cannot be manifested as long as the people of Earth continue to believe in and condone humanity's current immoral institutions, which are based entirely in violence, coercion, deception, ignorance, greed, usury, and exploitation. This is most certainly not what Tesla envisioned for the human future. See, when it comes down to it, this is what most of us do. You know, we look to some form of a leader, and the leader is saying to us, who wants change? And everybody is very eager to raise their hand and jump to the front of the line and say, oh yes, give us that, give us that. But then, when it is explained that what is required for the manifestation of that change to take place is for a massive change in the human mind and heart. We ourselves have to change. We have to go through the paradigm shift in our belief system, in our mental and spiritual lives. And very few people want that, you know. Then you could hear the crickets chirping, you know, and flies buzzing about the room, you know, because that takes deep internal work upon ourselves, which all too few people are willing to do and confront and look at our inner selves and our shadow side. Tesla wanted a future in which science would be used for the true betterment of humanity. That was his main goal. And many people think he backed off of his own projects because he knew that humanity was not ready. And we were like naive little children, that if we had the power of Tesla technology truly in our hands, it would be like putting nuclear bombs in the hands of children. Okay, so many people think he actually backed away from some of his most advanced technology projects. And that may be true. But one thing is, Tesla did understand that this paradigm shift would have to happen. He hinted at it in his quote when he said, peace can only come as a consequence of universal enlightenment. And I have said that free energy can only come as a consequence of universal enlightenment. In fact, what I would say is, a world based in free energy can only come as a consequence of a universal paradigm shift in human consciousness. When we see that paradigm shift happen, then we will see the future that Tesla envisioned manifest, and it will create a future that humanity can scarcely envision at the current time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your kind attention.
That was Mark Passio speaking at the annual Nikola Tesla Club event in New York City. We now hear another Nikola Tesla Club presentation titled From Scarcity to Abundance.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark Passio of whatonearthishappening.com. Welcome and thank you all for being here today. My presentation is going to be fast-moving and hard-hitting, so strap yourself in and let's get started. It's called Scarcity to Abundance. What will it take to make Tesla's dream a reality? And this presentation may be a little bit hard for some people to hear today. Not everybody may be ready for it, and that's okay. I'm going to say the things I'm going to say anyway, and perhaps they will be seeds that will perhaps sprout and grow at a future time. This is the goal that we're all here for. We say that we want free energy, and I emphasize the word say, because there's oftentimes a lot of opposition between our thoughts and our actions. What we will do to make that reality actually come about and manifest itself. So, this is what we want. We want to do away with the current unsustainable, controlled energy paradigm. Okay? I call it the scarcity paradigm. It's controlled energy. It's ecologically polluting and unsustainable. It's based in the fear of scarcity. It perpetuates dependency. It is maintained by violence, exploitation, and imperialism. It promotes the separation worldview that nature is ours to conquer. It stagnates human evolutionary progression. It's completely immoral because it is in opposition to spiritual law. And it will ultimately lead to total slavery for humanity if we do not dissuade from going down this course. Conversely, we can give birth to the free energy paradigm, or the paradigm of abundance, which is green and sustainable. It creates empowerment through abundance. It promotes independence. It is based in genuine power, because when there is no scarcity, that obviates the need for aggression to control resources. It promotes the integral worldview that we are a part of the balance of nature. We are a part of nature. We do not own it to exploit. It promotes human evolutionary progression. It is moral, which means that it is in harmony with spiritual law, with the laws of morality. And it ultimately will lead to true freedom for humanity. But see, part of the problem is that a lot of people want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak. You can look at Tesla as the cart, and the true understanding of freedom as the horse that has to lead the way to bring that new and sustainable energy paradigm into manifestation. So what is the problem? Why don't we have free energy? What is holding us back from it? Well, this is the part that may be difficult for a lot of people to hear. You know, why don't we have all of the wonderful innovations that Tesla envisioned? Why aren't we operating on a wireless world? You know, not on fossil fuels and the dependency that goes along with it. You know, why hasn't Tesla's vision for the future already come about? It's not because we don't have the technology to do it or the know-how, okay? There's another deeper, much more deeply seated psychological reason that we have not given birth to this new energy paradigm yet. And Tesla can give us a hint as to, you know, what we really need to understand. He said that peace can only come as a natural consequence of universal enlightenment. Now, people have a different idea of what enlightenment means, and I'm going to hope to shed some light upon that. I like to say that free energy can only come as a natural consequence of universal spiritual enlightenment. And again, that's the state that we have to create internally first before we're ever going to manifest the external reality that we say we want to see, that is our claim. Things need to change in order for that to happen. But what, in fact, needs to change? Deeply held belief systems need to change. There needs to be a paradigm shift. A way of seeing the world needs to go away, and a new way of seeing the world needs to be born into existence within each one of us. That is a paradigm shift, or an ascension in human consciousness, coming out of darkness and rising into the light. A paradigm shift has requirements. It does not magically just take place. There is will and effort that is involved. Okay? So what are these requirements? What, in fact, must change? And here's where the difficulty is going to be coming in for some people here in the audience today. There are two world religions, universal religions, I call them, that are ultimately holding humanity back from the manifestation of free energy. For free energy to emerge, these religions must be completely abandoned. Completely abandoned. And people may be very shocked when they hear what these religions in fact are, because it is not what you think. It is not what you are thinking of as religion. And in that sense, we need to define what I mean by the word religion. Religion is a system of control that is based in an unchallenged dogmatic belief system. Religion, as a word, the etymology of the word, comes from the Latin language. The word religare, the verb religare in Latin, means to tie back, to hold back, to thwart from forward progress, or to bind by tying. Okay? So what is in fact being held back is the progress of our understanding of the way the laws of the universe actually work. We are being held back from an understanding of truth. And the progress is all in the mind that is being held back. We are being mentally and psychologically held back. This is the first religion, the universal world religion known as money. Money is a belief-based system of control that is built upon the fear of scarcity, which is purposefully designed to limit access to energy. That is what money is designed for. It is designed to limit access to energy so that we operate on a scarcity mindset and worldview instead of one that is based in abundance. That is the first universal world religion that almost every being on this planet believes in, unquestioningly. The second world religion, the universal world religion that is almost as universally believed in as money, is the erroneous concept known as authority. Authority is an illusion of a diseased human psyche that is based entirely in violence and is built upon the erroneous and dogmatic belief that some people are masters who have the moral right to issue commands, while other people are slaves who have a moral obligation to obey these masters. That is the religion known as authority. And it is a false religion. The world religions, money and authority, this is the structure that it represents. It's a hierarchical, compartmentalized structure in which we are ruled by the god known as money. Below that are the people who say, we rule you, the authoritarians. Below that, the people who say, we fool you. These are the people who propagate standard traditional world religions and New Age movement. And below that, the people who shoot at us if we disagree with the authoritarian religions. And below that, the people who profit off of it and think that it's all okay for this immoral violence to continue unabated. And below them, all the people who uphold the system through their actual energy and work. This is the system of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you recognize that or not, there it is. And that is what is taking place. This authoritarianism that is inherent to humanity's current worldview and social structure is completely antithetical. That means diametrically opposed to the rights and freedoms of the individual. Those who have become bound to an authoritarian worldview gradually lose their ability to display free thinking, engage in civic discourse, and even be able to envisage the notion of true freedom. The imagination is stifled, and they cannot even envision a way out of their current trap. Through fear, scarcity, and our own acquiescence, these two universal false religions keep us rooted into the base brain. They keep us in the reptile brain, the lower brain, which is the brainstem and cerebellum. This is all fight or flight mechanisms, okay? Pure survival, the reptile brain. We are not operating from a place of emotions or empathy, let alone a place of higher order thinking and reason, which is brought about by the balance of the human brain or the neocortex. That's what scarcity ultimately does. It keeps us in the reptilian complex of the mind. In such a fear-based and fight-or-flight state of consciousness, humanity has become collectively incapable of truly creative and liberating thinking, which is also known as human imagination. We are operating in a cage for the mind, collectively, and we need to get out of it. Adherence to the religions of money and authority blocked the implementation of Tesla's work. And here are three of Tesla's main funders: Nathan Rothschild of the Rothschild dynasty, J.P. Morgan, of course, who funded the Wardenclyffe Project, along with John Jacob Astor, one of Tesla's other main financiers, who, as we all know, pulled their funding when Tesla wanted to do something that was truly liberating for humanity that these psychopaths could not control. But you know, who followed those orders? Those orders came down to military men, followers of orders, who decided on those orders to destroy the Wardenclyffe Tower so that it could not be studied and understood further and preserved for posterity and hopefully be activated at some future point so that we could really move into a sustainable future as far as energy was concerned. Order followers did that. Adherence to the religion of authority. To this day, adherence of the religions of money and authority still block the implementation of Tesla's work. And they don't care who they have to exploit, or even if they have to destroy the very living, dynamic energy system upon which we all depend for life, called the Earth itself. You know, profit above people, profit above the Earth. To this day, these adherents are polluting the very system upon which we all depend for life continuously. And we're letting them do it. You know, how quickly we forget about things like the Gulf oil spill as soon as the media stops talking about it. We have such a short attention span. See, it's all about profit, all about worshiping at the altar of mammon. And that's where they want us. They want us in their mindset. They want to give us a watered-down version of the way that the psychopaths at the top level think. You know, if you're saying, is what I'm basically saying that this is a conspiracy? Absolutely, I'm saying that. But I'm not here to talk about the people who are ultimately in charge of that worldwide conspiracy. You know, that's a whole nother lecture entirely. I'm talking about the systems of belief in the bulk of humanity that prop it up and make it able to continue to go on unchallenged. That's true for the majority of the people of this world, as painful as it is. You know, and if that's what our God is, expect to remain in a cage for a long, long time. If you put that God over the universal God of all creation, then my personal opinion is that we deserve what we get. And we don't deserve anything better than what we have right now, as long as that remains our highest value system. Imperialism. This is what the worshippers of the religion of authority, those who worship at the altar of authority and are order followers. You know, if you don't believe that this slide is true and this is what we're really doing and that we're attacking other nations to take resources because we think we should have it at their expense, you know, I think you're a very naive person if you don't think that's the main motivating factor personally. Worshipping at the altars of money and authority, most so-called modern science is being used to perpetuate control, greed, and hegemony, rather than what Tesla wisely told us that science should be used for, the betterment of humanity. You know, it's about making more effective weapons of destruction and controlling people through media and food and of surveillance systems, etc. That's the cutting edge of science today. Not the betterment of humanity and using it for liberating purposes, unfortunately. You know, I think if Tesla was here, and I do believe that Tesla is here in spirit, absolutely, I think he would be telling us one thing, and he would say it in two words. He would say, get out. And he would mean get out of the mind control. Get out of the head cage. Get out of the systems of illusory belief that do not serve who we are. That's what Tesla's message would be if he were here today. He would tell us that until we come together in a universal spirit of enlightenment and oneness and get out of the separation worldview and get out of these completely illusory religions that have owned our minds for thousands of years, we're never going to have his implementation of free energy, or any other implementation of free energy for that matter. And if we ever want to see this headline come true, what we ultimately need to do is turn within. Look within. Ask ourselves, do our systems of belief serve who we are and what we say we want? Or are we in internal opposition to what we say we want through what's going on in here and in here? And with that being said, I think Tesla would have told every one of us that it is all up to the individual. The answer lies in the reflection that you see in that device. That's where the answer lies. Ultimately, what we each need to do is look within ourselves, develop a newfound sense of self-respect, and free our minds. When we do that, the stars are the limit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your kind attention.
That was Mark Passio speaking at the annual Nikola Tesla Club event in New York City. Now we go to part of a past interview with Mark Passio talking about his presentation at the New Yorker Hotel with the Nikola Tesla Club.
It's really not true science that is seeking truth, but it's a religion that is there to protect a belief system that is in place about how everything is just a purposeless grand accident and is a mechanized matter holds primacy over everything else, including consciousness and or spirit. So it's very one-sided. It's very imbalanced toward the left brain form of consciousness. And it's not what I would call certainly not based in truth and not based in real intelligence. It's based in pure intellect, which isn't holistic intelligence. That's clearing up those two terms as I use them in my work. But let's go to that other question in which you asked me to talk about the role of knowledge and how important availability of information is in understanding what's going on within us and around us,
right,
so that we can make informed decisions. And this is ultimately how we create our reality,
right,
actually.
Exactly.
So in my Tesla presentation at the New Yorker Hotel back in January, which was called Free Energy from Suppression to Manifestation, I opened it up by describing this model that is essentially the ancient trivium methodology for the discovery of truth. For anyone who is going to be a seeker of truth, this methodology would be taught to them so that they could really understand the difference between reality and falsehood, so that they would be able to process information to know whether or not they were being deceived or led astray, and they were getting accurate information, and they were able to process it accurately, to come to accurate conclusions about it, and then base their behavior on it so that they would get orderly results instead of chaotic ones. This method was known as the trivium, which in Latin means three paths or three roads. Tres tria in Latin means three, and then via means road or path. Now, via also can mean a way, which is what a road is. It's a way to get from one place to another, from here to there. It can take on the connotation of meaning a method or a manner by which you arrive at a certain way of doing things. So it's a methodology as well. So the trivium was the three methods or the threefold methodology for truth discovery. The trivium has been given different names, different handles, I guess you could say. The three processes were known in many different ways. So in the modern way that people look at the trivium, it's been known as grammar, logic, and rhetoric in that order. And you can't take the steps out of order, otherwise the methodology breaks down. The order is very critically important, and we'll see why in a moment. The ancient trivium, this is the terms that were used to describe the steps of the process. It was known as knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That's actually the ancient or the esoteric variant of the trivium processes. And in the modern world, it's been called grammar, logic, and rhetoric steps. Now, there's a third way that people who are in a more computer-oriented or, you know, modern technological system like to refer to the trivium method, and that's simply as input, processing, and output. And I tend to really like that model, actually. I like the ancient model, which is the ancient terminologies are what I used in my presentation, but I kind of like the computer allegory way of looking at it. We could talk about that as I describe the steps. It's all basically describing the same thing, no matter how you label each step. The knowledge step is the foundation. You start with available information throughout society, okay, wherever knowledge and information can possibly be found. So available information, you could say, isn't knowledge itself. It's potential knowledge. You're going to have to do something with it to arrive at knowledge. So really, available information is what we're talking about here, which constitutes potential knowledge. And that information can be gathered and brought together. It can be aggregated, and then it can be processed by running it through certain filtration systems to weed out inconsistencies, to filter out inconsistencies, and then it can be understood. We can come to an accurate understanding of what that available information means, and then we can act upon it as individuals and as whole societies. So that's really the first step, is the gathering or the aggregation of available information so that we know we have all the pieces. That's why it's been called grammar, okay? You know, grammar of a language are the pieces, the individual building blocks that are going to form the context of a language so that we can communicate ideas. Same thing could be said here for this step of knowledge or availability of information. We're going to aggregate that, bring it all together so that we have as much information as possible that we could start processing, and then we're going to make our decisions on about how we're going to act. So that's the most important step in this process, is gathering the grammar, the building blocks. It's the input in a computer system. If you don't input a good file format, a good operating system, and good software, and then input data that is accurate that you're going to perform your calculations on or your transforms on or your processing on, if you don't have that data there, good luck doing anything beneficial with that computer system. So the input stage is all important, and that's the foundation of the Trivium methodology. And, of course, we'll see as we go forward with this, that's where the controllers attack. They have to attack that stage, because they're not going to attack the other stages, because they're already, the information would have already been out there at that stage. So the suppression of knowledge is the most important thing when it comes to controlling an entire paradigm, a whole worldview, or a whole people, okay? So the next step of the Trivium method is understanding. This is the logic stage in the modern terminology. Or in the computer terminology, it would be the processing stage. So how I describe this level or this stage of this three-step process is these are our decision-making processes. It's where we're processing the information that we've taken in to come to a conclusion about what are we going to do with this knowledge in the sense of how are we going to act upon it. It's not taking the action yet, but it's the decision-making processes that go on within the human mind that lead eventually to action in the world. So, of course, these processes are mental processes. They take place in the mind, and they are chosen and worked with by each individual in a society. And it can be different for each individual because it's always going to be the decision-making processes that go on in our mental capacities are always going to be determined by each individual's taking in of available information. If I took in a very good portion of the available knowledge that's out there, I have a frame of reference or a basis to really process that information and pretty much come to an accurate conclusion about what's really going on if I applied this understanding method, this processing method, this filtration method to eliminate logical inconsistencies. If I apply it properly, then I'm going to probably come to accuracy, to actual knowledge, to understanding, okay? And if we don't do that because we've lacked available information, we're going to not understand. We're not going to arrive at understanding. We're going to simply be in a state of confusion, and that's unfortunately where most people are at in our society because they lack so much knowledge. They haven't taken in a good portion of the available information, and a good portion of the available information has either been hidden from them or it has been dissuaded from being looked into. They have been dissuaded from looking into that information deliberately by the mass media, telling them, oh, no, this isn't something that you need to understand, propagating, you know, a lot of trivial aspects of what's going on, you know, focusing on minutia, focusing on things that aren't important, and just propagating that to people and saying, here, this is what you need to look at. You don't need to understand any of that. That's all debunked or that's all, you know, nonsense. And when people fall into that trap of listening to people with no wisdom telling them that certain knowledge is important and other knowledge isn't important, well, they're going to actually themselves limit, not because the information is off limits to them and it's actually not available, but they are themselves going to willfully choose to limit what knowledge they come into contact with.
regarding focusing on the minutiae and ignoring the reality around mm-hmm. us, you know, through media outlets. A good example of that is the geoengineering and aerosol operations that are basically sure. in plain sight. And we talk about that a lot on this show.
Right.
Just to keep it in discussion. And even some of the amazing people in the progressive world and the media, unfortunately, still think it's a hoax or they don't yep. think it's real. And it's quite shocking in the context of how human beings are processing information, whether it's willful, deliberate, or there's something else going on within the mind, in mind control.
It's absolutely a state of psychological denial known as cognitive dissonance. And this is going on within the so-called truth movement, the so-called freedom movement, the alternative media. So many people want to ignore that such psychopathic individuals can be in control of a society, that they will be spraying chemicals on their own populations for reasons that they believe are necessary, that are actually doing harm to the population and the environment. And people are in denial that that could be taking place. And they're making a critical error in judgment. When it comes to, we could even talk about this in relation to the Trivium method. Their decision-making processes don't have enough information about how psychopathy works. And therefore, they're in a state of denial and disbelief when it comes to that there could be people who are this psychopathic and uncaring about the consequences of their behavior. It's a state of childish naivete, but it's combined with this state of cognitive dissonance, of the inability to believe that which you can even see with your own eyes. And it's a very debilitating condition, and it's a difficult condition to come out of, because what they've done is they've actually locked themselves willfully into this state of denial by saying, the world cannot be that. See, it's really childish-like fear when you know, you're witnessing evil, and you're in such a state that you can't comprehend that that's going on. And a part of that mistake, to extend this a little bit, mm-hmm. is they are making a critical error in judgment by trying to actively apply their own moral sensibilities to other people. And that's a deadly mistake to make, a very critically bad thing to try to do, okay? You don't want to try to say, because I would never act that way, that no one else would ever act that way, okay? And therefore, that leads to them to believe there couldn't possibly be anybody in control, in a position of power, to make a decision like this and get this action carried out, such that they have a lack of morality, because I wouldn't do that. So many people, you tell them that evil things are going on in the world, and they'll say, well, that can't be true. They wouldn't do that. And what they're really, what's really going on in the mental process there is a complete logical fallacy, because what they're really saying to themselves is, because I wouldn't do that, no one else would. And that's a logical fallacy. Not everybody has your same moral and ethical sensibilities. Certainly psychopaths do not. A lot of them lack the knowledge of what psychopathy really is and how many psychopaths are out there in our society. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in denial of that too. People will deny that psychopathy even exists in our society or at all.
We've discussed that on this show a lot as well, and something that you also talk about in your New Age deception presentations, which are fantastic. I'd like to dig into that if we have some time. It certainly fits into the first deception, ignore the negative. And
right.
that connects to something we also talked about on the show is the psychological theory of Carl Jung's The Human Shadow, and we dug into that with a number of guests.
Brilliant material by Jung there, you know, and people have to understand, if we don't deal with that shadow, if we don't acknowledge it, its existence, and then work with that shadow material, it eats us. It tears us apart. That's what we're facing as a society. We haven't done that psychic cleansing work, you know, upon our own psyche. You know, we want to ignore all that shadow material and think it's going to go away and it's not going to negatively impact us as a species. Well, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
If you leave the shadow alone, it doesn't go away. In fact, it continues to grow and evolve.
That's right.
on its own, unconsciously, without
yes.
without your knowledge. Unless you consciously examine it and catch it when it's coming up for you in certain situations. And some of the examples past guests have made is when you lose composure in certain situations, that's a good time to catch it and figure out why you did what you did.
Right.
Before we get into your New Age Deception lecture material, I saw that you mentioned your position as a priest in the Satanic Church at one time. Can you talk about that, why you left, and what you gained from that in terms of understanding those who are within that religion, the Satanic Church, what they're doing, and how they're manipulating various aspects of humanity?
Sure. In my youth, I was born into a standard traditional Roman Catholic family in South Philadelphia, and my family was the type of people who just accepted the status quo at face value and never really asked any deep questions. You know, the question why was unheard of in generally in my family. And, you know, not that they were bad and moral people, but they were just not really deep thinkers. They're just go along to get along types, generalizing. I was born into that indoctrination and programming, as are most people, let's face it. I mean, you know, it's a rare thing when somebody is not born into something like that, that has conscious parents, and they are very, very gifted to be born to conscious parents and a conscious family. But it's a very far, few and far between scenario. So, of course, being born into this religious indoctrination, I accepted without a lot of questioning what I was being taught by my parents, my teachers, et cetera, sent to Catholic school. And my late grade school years, maybe even into very early high school years, like freshman year. And then I started questioning that belief, but all that questioning wasn't channeled in any kind of a healthy way. It was all just turned to anger and hatred about what I simply perceived as being lied to at that point. Not consciously, I knew these people didn't understand what it really was about either, but I still lacked an important framework. That framework, by the way, was astrotheology. Because once you understand astrotheology and you understand the origins of religion, and then you understand what religion is being used to do in society, that knowledge is empowering, and it helps you to break that paradigm. And you could do it in a productive and channeled way instead of in a scattered and completely imbalanced way like I broke the indoctrination, but I went from one form of indoctrination to another form of deception.
We are truly being led into the Valley of Steel, but remember, as part of the outer paradigm shift, we would need to add in the discussion of zero-point energy development and the end of climate engineering when addressing climate change. Mark says the universe is conscious and responds to consciousness. Will you be the repetition of every person before you, or will you be the pattern interrupt? That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.